Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Today's talk is with students who want to become healthcare practitioners. I want to teach them exactly what it takes to work with patients and be successful in their practice, whatever it might be. I start with helping them understand how to listen and how to practice listening, to self-discipline they need right now and in the future, also to how to make a good first impression, also patience at times it takes to actually learn your art and skill, also to patient exam tips. I actually walked through with Sarah as an example, how to interview a patient and also adjust her at the same time live, scaring all the students. It was awesome. Also to the importance of volunteering experience now to help you learn your craft, exactly what you want in the future, right? So enjoy the talk, listen in, and we'll hear from you afterwards. So a lot of what when I do my talks is, how can you test yourself through your, through your, say, family members, for one, because you can, they won't sue you, right? Usually won't family won't sue you. And to see if they can help you know if you're a good fit for healthcare. What I tell people is talk to an old aunt, uncle, maybe grandparents, whatever it is, to someone who likes to tell stories. Okay? Can you sit there for half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, listen to their story and not be frustrated or bothered? You know what bothered means?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
Some of my classes, right? I'm like, why can't I just leave? Okay? So a lot of it is, can you actually sit there and have a conversation with them and go, man, it's interesting. What about this, this, and this? Can you carry a conversation with someone sometimes you don't know, like going to senior citizen home for one, too, and go and help out and go, hey, can I talk to you? See what's your life story? What's going on? If you can have those conversations, that's a good start getting healthcare. It does take good grades. You can't get around that. Some people have tried, a lot of people have tried. It takes good grades. This is your gateway to get into a medical assistant program, nursing, med school, and beyond. Even just a four-year science degree to get into med school, you need good grades. Okay, anyone here play softball before? Any sports? Anything, right? Any sports. Sometimes when you're younger, it starts real slow. Over time, it gets faster, more competitive. That's where you are right now. Right now, you're at the intermediate, maybe beginner level of a sporting team for one, or sporting event, okay? You get to the next level after high school, that's your intermediate level. If you want to specialize into a healthcare field, that's where you have to be the expert and the pro starting now. If you don't have good grades now, high B's or at least A's for one, two, it's gonna be so hard when you get out of here. Work your tail off now. The reason is, once you get to the next level, all you're doing is sciences. Think science is hard now. Think if you're doing four science classes in a row every day, having a test every day, and every quarter going, hey, look, did I make it or not make it? Well, I went to UCR, a couple cities over, got a BS in biology about 1,000 years ago, okay? From there, I got my chiropractic degree a couple years later. When I went to chiropractic school, all the schools after this are all profit schools. How much do you pay tuition here? How much do you guys pay?
Nothing.
Zero, right? Okay. Next level, you start paying thousands of dollars every semester to go to school. Their job is to make sure you're ready for the next level, maybe getting a license, become a nurse, a PA, at that point, or going to a four-year college or passing the MCAT, whatever it is. So that one, you have to be ready for that. You pay $1,000 a semester or quarter. If you don't pass, what happens? They kick you out, what happens? You still owe that money back. It doesn't go away. I have friends I went to chiropractic school with. At that point, half my class did not graduate. They owe tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars. Half my class 5 years after I graduated are now doing something else. This is, again, 1,000 years ago. So 20 years of practice, about 15 years ago, half that class is doing something else 5 years after they started or had their degree or came out of from chiropractic school. Realize it's not easy, but when it's not easy, it's worth it. If you put the time and effort now to realize whatever I get grade-wise, it helps me, not just the actual grade in that class, but that work ethic to get to next level, next level, next level. What I mean by that? Who went to the homecoming game last Friday night? I was there. Okay. Who had a test? Say, for example, you have a test on Monday. Your friends go, hey, let's go out and see a movie on Sunday night. What do? You study for the test? Go see the movie, yeah. in a higher degree medical program later on. Okay. Can you pick your poison, figure out what's important to you now versus what's important to you later? Can you sacrifice sometimes some friends that are not good for you that will not help you get to the next level, in the sense where, or some friends that can help you, stick with those people too? There is a rule, I forget the name of the rule, it's called 6 degrees of separation. You're only as good as the six people around you. Maybe grade-wise, health-wise, whatever it is, attitude-wise, whatever it is. So pick your friends wisely, because what happens if you have loser friends? You're considered a loser. Sorry, that's just the way the world works. So how do you find friends that help you, that are not losers? And again, there's a lot of peer pressure. It doesn't matter how old you are, whatever it is. Is the age doesn't matter, it's what you're around. So when you pick friends that are cool, sometimes they don't help you get the next level. Sometimes they won't go to where you want to be, have the same goals as you. So when you know that, you have to sometimes step away and sacrifice that friendship for you be selfish to get what you want out of life, not what they want out of life. All right? Any questions so far? What's it called? How many times do you get to make a first impression?
Once.
Okay? Not that hard to think. So if I come in here wearing a Hawaiian shirt, say a shorts and a flip-flops, would you say, is that guy really a doctor?
Yes.
I would say that too. Yeah, same thing. I come here dressed up, and I sometimes wear a jacket, just hot, I forget my jacket's at work, because I came from home, not work today. Is I come here dressed up because I want to respect you and show you that respect. So my thing is, you're going to show up at a clinic and volunteer or go and ask for a reference or want someone to help you, dress because you respect them, not because of what you feel sometimes, what I want to dress like today. I know some chiropractors, they wear Hawaiian shirts to work. That's not what I would do, just not me. Because every patient comes in the door, sometimes they don't know me, I don't know them. I want to give them the respect that, hey, you're here for my help. I respect you coming to me and I thank you for doing that. Let me find a way to help you. Does that make sense? What is the rule of being on time?
If you're on time, you're late, and if you're late, you're fired.
Yes. Great, perfect. Some people have heard that, some people have not heard that. To be on time means to be early. And it gets stuck because some people are going from outside of campus or here. This is one thing. But if you're good in internships or volunteering or looking for someone to help you or making an appointment, show up 10 minutes early. As an employer myself, as someone who has interns in my office, that's my sign. I don't say anything. I'll go, oh, they're 10 minutes late every day. I'm like, oh, great. They won't be here very often or very long. Because that's a reflection of that person. If they're late, what else? Character is not going to help my office, my business as an intern, by them having that. What else are they going to? It puts a negative connotation, negative impression on whatever employer or wherever you're volunteering or helping, whatever it might be. Basic stuff, right? Not that this isn't hard stuff. Okay, let's show the second video. This is might be a little bit more entertaining than the first one. Let's see. Lights, sir.
Lights, please.
Lights, sir. Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
You're good.
Okay, wait.
I'm
not
even
done with this setup. Okay.
He's gonna get you ready. Relax.
Well,
maybe.
Be fine.
Honey, really, this is gonna be okay.
Okay, right.
Remember, it's gonna make you feel better.
I'm gonna have you go right here. I'm good.
Oh God. We're looking so violent.
That's a lot of pressure.
Oh good.
That was really loud here, probably.
Yes.
Okay.
See, I can't do this stuff for you, honey.
Okay.
This is why we made that. You made the appointment.
You did this. That was the harder side, sir.
And remember, breathe, relax.
You take your breath in, all the way out. Put your hands together so. How'd that go? Does that feel okay?
Yeah.
It's exciting, right? But it feels okay.
Oh boy, exciting.
That's the hard part. Now we made that.
We're done.
Mid back.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be the easier, no, maybe like the middle easier one.
No, not yet.
Go back. Put them on your shoulder and on your hip facing this way. By your side.
This is nice. This is the one that you want me to do for you.
Right here. Bend your arm up.
Oh. Right here.
Oh, God.
Right here.
A little stretch.
Right there. Real easy, right? Deep breath in. Oh, yeah. The shoulder relax.
Oh, wait.
Right there. Did it
leave? No.
Okay. That okay? You still left.
Still left. That
side.
Other side.
This is going to be great when it's edited. So great.
Okay.
Say hi, honey.
Hi.
Relax.
Just be lunged.
So?
Deep breath in. All the way up. Just a minute. Bring your head back for me.
Go back.
Yep. That's the one.
Is that the one that I can't get?
Okay. Stand up, see how you feel.
Okay.
Big teddy bear.
Deep breath in. Step all the way.
How you doing?
Oh my God.
How's your back though?
Head still on?
Yeah.
It's still connected.
Good. How's the pressure feel in the neck, mid back, and low back?
My better back.
Really?
Lower back, yeah. It was locked up before.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
there's
a door.
You can lift your
knees. Is he a
football player? Come on.
He's an actor, actually. Okay, that's good.
Oh, wow, look at that. Did you see that?
You see the hack people with your mom?
Look at this. You see that?
Oh, there you go. Look at that.
Oh.
I'm telling you.
Sorry.
How's that? You see,
creepy, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Okay.
Hit the lights, sir. Thank you. Okay. So a lot of it is, that happens once in a blue moon. I adjusted his wife first. Both came in for x-rays, examination. She had back problems, she had neck problems. And I adjusted her first, and he ran out of the room. I'm like, what is his problem? He is definitely scared. I'm like, yes, perfect. You gotta get it on video. All right. When I adjust someone like that, and they're sometimes in a lot of pain or very anxious, I have to find ways to help them relax. This is called 17 years in practice. It takes time, it takes time, it takes time to get the confidence up, the experience, so you know how to deal with each person coming through the door. This is what you're starting the process of learning that through your books. With Mars and his wife, again, they're good people. He's an actor in Hollywood. A lot of it is I have to be able to aggressive enough with him, confident enough in my skills, to be effective with him. A lot of chiropractors coming out of school or just their personality, they wouldn't want to adjust someone like that. They wouldn't be that aggressive. The problem is, unless you move things around, which I'll show you in a second with Seraphim, a lot of it is it's not effective. I had a guy come in from Kansas. He was working for Costco on a contract job. He came in and he called me. He goes, hey, look, I've seen three chiropractors in the area. Are you a bone popper? I'm like, what do you mean bone popper? Do you move bone? Because I see three chiropractors, no one can move my neck. I'm like, oh, I'm going to move your neck, all right. So my job is to be aggressive enough when they need it, when I get the clearance, when I know it's not risky, I take the x-rays in my office. At that point, I know it can be effective when I get things to move. All right, any questions so far? Okay, sir, yes?
Is it harder to do it on bigger people? Like him versus somebody like my size?
It is, but the biggest thing with what we do, it's technique. Technique is an art form. It's like being a painter. You have to learn how to help people relax and how to set them up properly. The bones are meant to move certain positions. Maybe rotate side to side. Some have different angles too. So my job is to get in there and they ask me, how you do? I'm like, I don't remember anymore. It's like playing piano or things like that. You go in there and you touch things around. At that point, you figure out where the tension point is, on his lower back, for example. Figure out if that's going to move or not. And I want to go another 3 degrees after I get the tension to really push in that area with what I do. I work out 6 days a week. I try to stay as strong as I can. And most people I can move pretty well. But it's technique, it's form, it's leverage too. You know what leverage is?
Yeah.
Okay. Some people that don't know that. The leverage is the longer I have a, for example, let me see here. I'm nothing. Let's use the flag. So I can see top of my head. Alright. If I'm trying to push something, for example, using this, this has more a lever arm or longer leverage. So if I use this to turn something, for example, like a ratchet or a wrench, at that point this allows me more force to do that. I can take off a, for example, a socket or a wrench or a screw a lot easier this way. If I have a very short screwdriver, do you have a pen? Anybody have pens anymore? Jesus. What's going on here? Thank you. If I try to take a screwdriver off with something like this, it can take me a lot more of my personal force versus the length of that tool. So having a longer arm and using my body the way I can allows me to move things around a lot easier. Okay? But again, it's technique. I had one guy come in, is your pen? I wasn't paying attention. I have a glass side and a left side. Okay. And a lot of it is I had a guy come in 2006, 16, and November, October, I can't remember exactly, he was 460 pounds, 6'8". He made this guy look small.
6'8"?
I had to jump in the air like a ninja to actually move him. And I moved him, but I jumped in the air like a ninja. I sometimes will do chiropractic seminars for chiropractors, and a lot of chiropractors have problems with, they get hurt. Because I'm pushing guys around like this all day long. I have to stay physically healthy to do this. Some doctors sometimes don't or have an injury at home or something else too. Because of that, you can no longer practice. So when you're in the healthcare field, when you're a professional, you have to watch your own body. Physically staying healthy, but also to preventing injuries. I tried to play basketball a few years ago, and I could play basketball. I'd come back Monday going like, okay, now I can't move for 3 days. I can't treat people like that. So I have to watch what I do, restrict what I do sometimes. Based on my profession, I can do Monday through Friday. Sometimes Saturday if I want to, if I'm serving the work. What was your other question?
Do you ever get like anxious or like scared to crack someone?
First time I did something like Mars, I just go, okay, make sure nuts, this is the one. No. No. Now, a lot of it is we take the x-rays first. We look at their history, figure out what the kind of problems they had before too. Especially with the neck too, make sure I have no neck injuries that are long-term chronic or surgeries too. I had someone come in with a neck fusion a couple weeks ago. Someone yesterday with a back fusion. So looking at their x-rays, knowing their history, it tells me what I can and can't do. So, and we have malpractice that covers that if something does happen, but you don't want to use it really, it's too exciting to use it. Yes?
So when there is a situation like that where you can't move someone because of an injury, what other options are there for that?
We have therapy, we have stretching, we have massage.
Okay.
And sometimes the best thing I'll do is refer them out to a specialist that focuses on, they can give them sometimes with V2 shots or even other things they can do with them, manipulation things inside the spine.
Okay.
So a lot of it is what I do as a chiropractor is I refer out to neurologists, orthopedists, sometimes nurses or primary doctor to make sure they're right here no matter what. They can ask for help. And that can help them. That can diagnose the problem properly, usually, based on the x-rays I can see in my office, to let them know where to go next. If we take x-rays in the office, we can see the same day exactly what's going on. If I don't know what's going on, here's your referral for an MRI. Let's make sure you get the right care wherever it is. My best patients are the ones that call me back, hey, look, thanks for referral. I needed that because I had this problem going on. I appreciate your help. I may not treat everyone like that, but I can help them understand the problem. As a chiropractor, an osteopath, or a medical doctor, that's our jobs as national licensed doctors to do that, to diagnose properly and or refer out. Any other questions? Yes?
So what are like the potential risks for patients, like if someone is inexperienced or something?
The patient level or the doctor level?
For like the patient level.
The risk is sometimes being hurt or sore afterwards.
Oh, that's it?
So the thing is, what we do, that's it. That's really it. That's this, Mars is just dramatic, obviously. Okay. A lot of it is we take the risk out of playing our office by taking x-rays in the office, that sees what's going inside the spine. We'll look for fractures, tumors, dislocations, what's going on inside. And if we move someone's spine, move things around, at that point, that movement is a physical movement. If something is already strained, or an artery, for example, is already calcified, you try to stretch that artery out, can actually cause an aneurysm. Aneurysm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That would cause things to worsen and tear the artery. And that's the one to avoid that completely. So I blame my partner's and not me. He was over there. Yes.
So I've watched videos of people, they do what you do. Mm-hmm. This guy, he uses a Y strap. Mm-hmm. Do you use that?
No, I use these.
Does your hands?
I use these. That's it.
What's a Y strap?
It's like
a towel kind of thing. And they put it around the neck and they pull it this way.
Oh, really? No.
Yes.
Is that safe?
Chiropractic's safe for everybody. But the risk involves a lot higher because then you're pulling, it causes pull distraction. Your fingers are, when you train as a chiropractor, you spend about three years total working with people, get your hands and your fingers sensitive to doing that all day. It takes time. And adjusting how your form is, technique, based on your body too. I had one girl in my class, she was maybe 5'2", 5'3", 100 pounds. And she adjusted people like that because her technique was just perfect. It's technique, it's form, it's everything, but using these, you get to feel where the bones are, feel where the muscles tight. Look at the person's reaction in their face when you're adjusting them. Are they relaxed or not? What's causing them to be sore? Based on what I see in the x-rays in my head, when I'm feeling, that gives me a reason to treat them a certain way. Enough force, maybe high or low, quick or slow, whatever it might be, what direction it's going to be in also. In my head, it happens about half a second. Boom, boom, boom. Next. It just takes time to learn that technique. But again, the thing here is, how do you learn how to get there? That's the point. So Seraphine, come on up. I'm not gonna adjust you yet. We'll go in a minute.
And can I borrow the green chair?
Yes. Do you want me to get another?
This is good. Okay, these are good. Grab the seat in this one. She has a sign from my office. She's an intern at my office, so.
Okay.
She knows what's going on. Okay. I'm gonna walk you through a patient scenario, first patient visit, okay? I want you to pick up what I'm doing, because a lot of it is, I build trust within 5 minutes with a patient that I can help them or not help them. They don't know who I am. They may see me on Facebook, TikTok, Instabook, all the grams, whatever it's called, okay? So it allows me to build that trust right away based on how I treat them and how they perceive me, all right? So I'm gonna walk into a room. Seraphine, correct?
Yes.
Good, Dr. Tony, nice to meet you. So what is going on with you? Tell me what's going on.
Since like my studies, I have mm-hmm. to look down a lot.
Yeah.
So my neck is all hurting. Mm-hmm. And like I can't take a break because studying.
It doesn't stop, right?
No.
24/7. Well, besides even studying, it's also going to class or everything you're mm-hmm. doing too. Okay. When did it first start?
First started 3 weeks ago.
Okay. What happened 3 weeks ago?
It just caused tension in my neck.
Okay.
And like sometimes I can't move. Like my neck to a certain
side. And is it, I'm gonna, and again, watch this too. Is it more here or more here toward the shoulder?
Towards the shoulder.
Okay, toward the shoulder. Is there anything run down the back?
No.
Anything run down to the shoulder?
No.
Good. Any hand tingling and hand numbness?
No.
Any hand weakness?
No.
Any of it run to the head causing headaches?
Sometimes,
yes. Any eye pressure on that side?
No.
Good, good, good. And does it affect your breathing at all?
No.
Good. Does it affect you when you're sleeping?
Sometimes.
When you say sometimes, what does that mean?
Like certain nights, if I'm just studying like real hard, mm-hmm. or like if I'm having like a rough day.
And does it become more intense soreness-wise, or does it travel more into the head or more down the shoulder?
Tense.
Good. Okay, when it becomes tense, what do you normally do to help alleviate it?
I try to ice it.
Good. Good, good. Does it help?
Yeah.
Good.
Can I try to like massage like my neck?
Yeah, a little bit of massage. Yeah. How about stretching?
Not
much? Not much.
No.
Okay. We talked about it before, but never mind. Okay. So a lot of it is, you're doing enough things to help alleviate it. Why, have you done anything medically to treat it?
No.
Anything over-the-counter medications your mom and dad giving you? Nothing? Any type of spiritual healing?
No.
I want to make sure. I don't know. Okay. So a lot of it is, at this point, we'll just take an x-ray, see what's going on with the x-ray. And if that's okay with your parents, again, because you're mine, I'm having to sign it off. At that point, see exactly what the x-ray is. The x-ray is going to tell us what kind of curves in your spine. The curve allows us to see exactly what could be locked up. If it's locked up under tension, that stress you're going through allows your body to tolerate that stress less. Do you know what stress is?
Yeah.
So what's stress? How would you define that?
I would define stress as, well...
kind of a broad thing, right?
Yeah, like, it all depends mm-hmm. on the person. Mm-hmm. But sometimes stress can mean, like, you actually care about something.
Yes. And what I say with stress is, how do your body respond to stress? When you're healthy, you shouldn't have this going on. there's something going inside the body. It's like, for example, neck being locked up in the area. That's what you're here for. At that point, your body tolerates stress less. So at that point, over time, it becomes less and less and less. So probably through a period of 3 weeks, it's probably affected you more, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So over time, it's harder to alleviate the pain, too.
So is it because of stress?
It's because the neck is being locking up. Uh-huh. Your body's tolerance can stress less.
Oh, okay.
Your body becomes more stressed. So you wake up the next day, you're already at a stress state. Versus healthy, you want to wake up and relax, so you can handle that stress throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
That tolerance level becomes less and less and less. Once you reach that tolerance level, when you go over that, your body goes like this. Oh, my neck. Oh, my head. Oh, my headaches. Oh, what the heck's going on, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm gonna do is take the x-rays next. We need to get you adjusted afterwards, too.
Okay.
All right, hang right here. How'd that go? What did you see? What did I do?
You asked a lot of questions.
So yes.
You're being thorough.
Good,
sure
good.
Understood it.
Okay, so I'm asking questions for more details of her answers, correct? Yes, sir.
So you're really attentive, you're like nodding mm-hmm. towards her, and your distance is pretty good, I guess, and mm-hmm. you're like just attentive in general.
I like that. Okay, when you say attentive, what does that mean?
You're paying attention to the small details that she, like, if she's confused about something, like you said, or like she said, you ask questions about it.
And I'm asking for what does that mean? So I want to ask what it means. I want her to come up to meaning so she understands what it is. Or if she knows she doesn't know, she'll hesitate, and I'll fill in the blanks. So I'm not trying to interrupt her. I'm trying to let her to tell what she wants to say. At that point, I'm going to fill in the blanks so she feels comfortable with what's going on. And the nodding, why I think the nodding is important?
Because then it's more comfortable for her. She trusts you more than others. Mm-hmm.
Trust and confirmation. I understand what's going on, and what she did too a couple times, because she's smart about it, she nods back too. When you nod, people know you do this, they nod back at you. It's amazing, it's magic. Yes, ma'am.
You shook her hand when you first met her, so it made her feel comfortable.
Good.
And it made her feel like you're there to help her, you're not there just to talk at her.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, I'm not distant. By doing a little bit of a handshake, and not like a grip and
right.
looking deep in her eyes,
right.
something to where I'm going, hey, let's have a conversation. I'm here with you. I'm not just on my iPad taking notes. I'm not over here, like some people do.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, you're giving her all your attention. You weren't like fidgeting or like on the paper or mm-hmm. You're like just eye contact and like nodding.
And a lot of it is to when you do that properly, you build that trust so you can help them. I do a lot of workshops for seniors, older people, right? They have good doctors sometimes, maybe a couple times a month, sometimes once a week based on their injuries or ailments or medications. Then what they tell me, seniors, is my doctor doesn't listen to me. What it means, like you just said right here, is they're distant. They don't shake their hand, don't ask their questions. They don't want to know what's going on. Okay, take patient information, thanks. Here's some medications, I'll see you in 3 weeks. No eye contact, nothing, no shaking hand. When she did this, it's right up here, what did I do?
You went to make sure you understood what she was talking about.
And what did I do physically?
You touched
this part. She did this, I said, I'm gonna go and touch that spot because that's where she wants me to touch it. At that point, it confirms that that's where I think it is too. How is my body position? How's my body posture?
You were like broken, like you're not all arms folded, like attitude.
Good.
Like
I was like, oh,
yes.
You're getting here again, twice in 1 week. Why?
And you want to slouch. You want to.
I'm here because I'm confident I can help her. Why not show confidence? Was her legs crossed? Her legs were crossed. What did I do?
You crossed your legs.
Crossed my legs too. Her hands were here. My hands were here. Okay, so by doing that, it's called, it's like, what's going on? It's magic. It's Jedi mind tricks. It's called something called like attracts like. When you act like somebody, when you speak their volume of voice, their tone of voice, their speed of speech, allows them to feel comfortable psychologically. And I'm not trying to trick her, but I want her to feel comfortable so she understands, I understand what's going on with her, to help her get better. Any questions about that? Like attracts like. Posture, eye contact. If that's what they're doing, sometimes they're like this. Over here, you're not looking. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll look down, and when she looks up, I'll look up. I'm not just like, Sarah, and tell me everything. So a lot of it's gonna be, you wanna do what they do. You wanna over-exaggerate, but you want enough to where you feel like you're mimicking some of their posture. And they're, like I said, if she's a loud talker or something, or she laughs a lot, I'm not going to laugh. She laughs a lot sometimes. I'm not going to laugh. But it's something where I'm gonna confirm that, hey, that is funny. Now, I want to make them feel comfortable. That's the biggest thing, right? Okay. Do you want to see me adjust her neck?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Yay. Okay. She's already signed off, so we're good. It moves to the middle. She has a neck problem, or problems in general. Okay, so her problem is more the right side. We talked about before. I want to make her feel comfortable. Okay, that's the biggest thing. Okay. Look at this. A little more. So here, I'm going to do is move her hair out of the way. I'm going to go under her neck back here with my hand. You have what's called the occiput, C1, C2, and C2 has what's called TPs on both sides. They're like a little bit of a wing on both sides, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and that's where my contact's going to be to help push that bone around that way. I might be loud. Okay, let's do this together.
Oh, no.
Ready to go. All right, so nice and easy. Not bad at all.
Ms. Garcia.
That felt
good. See? Next. Ready? You're next. All right, right here, too. Simple, very easy. All the way down.
Oh.
How's that, Eli?
Yeah.
Good. Grab a seat. All right, good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good job. Any questions so far? Yes.
Okay, so I honestly have no idea how this works. Mm-hmm. So you're moving the bone, and I know that, like, let's say when you crack your fingers, you know, you're like relieving like the air in like the synovial joint.
Yes.
So is that what's happening here?
That's exactly it.
So it's just relieving air?
Relieving pressure in the joint so the joint can move normally. Most people have normal bones in their body. It's how they're lining up. So if the body's lining up like this, hunching over, studying all day long, something's gonna lock up in there, causing pressure. The pressure hits a threshold, causing pain. My job really be the pressure, so the body can come back to normal alignment, normal motion. That will keep that pressure down by stretching, by icing, by getting it stronger. And over time, correcting that spine from here to here, so they feel taller but also more relaxed here versus under tension, their body gets more tense. Feet to fire.
Can I have another question?
Yes.
You know how like in movies people is like kill each other?
Uh-huh.
How is this different? You look like
is that, the movies are they real or fake?
Well, yeah, they're fake, but
they're fake,
like...
Okay, good. It's because it shows a reason to watch the show because it's gonna if they like that, they fall down. You know? It's something to where that's the way movies are made. Martial arts, you go back to that, whatever it is too. People want to see that, so what they do? They put them in the movie. Audience demands it. It works, they believe it. That's why people don't want to get the neck adjusted from me, because they see that, they go, Arnold did that in a movie 10 years ago, I don't want you to do that to me. It's a movie, it's not real. But yeah, I get it. Yes?
I don't know if this could be a question or not, but...
I don't know.
Do you make your patient sign papers before, like,
good.
A paper that, like, to make sure, like, just in case, like, hurt them by
accident,
like,
what we have is called initial in paper or new patient intake form, and it verifies what's going on in the office, that there is a risk of being not injured but of causing a problem sometimes. So we have everyone, it's part of normal patient protocol or new patient protocol. All paper you have, it's called a blue form, has their information, our disclosure, we're going to help you as much as we can with this and this and this. So it's like an ethics type of a statement. Yeah. But you need that for all your documents to make sure you're safe and the patient's safe too. Realize, as a doctor, even as nurses, or as a PA, anyone who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, the state of California is meant to protect us from you. There are police to make sure we're doing our job. Having that paperwork signed, if something does happen, at that point, that releases some liability, that, hey, we tried our best, sorry. Who is the most risky healthcare profession out there?
Anesthesiologist.
Yes, and why anesthesiologists? Why are they the most risky?
Because
their titration has to be almost perfect sometimes, especially for surgery under someone under anesthesia. If not, the heart stops. Ouch. Yeah, I don't worry about a bruised neck, I worry about my heart stopping. My brain doesn't even occupy my brain. Because they have high risk, they pay a high malpractice, had malpractice to negate that risk. Most anesthesiologists work for a hospital. This hospital contract a better rate for their insurance. How about pediatrics? Who's been born here? All of us, right? Just say raise your hand, please.
Born where, like,
just born in general.
Oh, yeah, all of us.
Like not a pediatrics. Who's a baby doctor? OBGYN.
Yeah, OBGYN.
Okay. OBGYN doctors, I have a patient, her husband's daughter's an OBGYN doctors. They have to work full time because their malpractice insurance is so high. $3,000-$4,000 a month. Just on insurance. Crazy.
Oh.
Because of the risk of when you're giving birth, things can happen. You're going into something that everyone's human body is not the same. So doing surgery, anesthesiology, giving birth, or being the doctor does the birth, there's always a risk involved. Higher the risk, higher malpractice. Chiropractors, we have the lowest malpractice. One of the lowest risk because we do our due diligence to make sure it's safe for the patient. Okay, let's show video 3. Yes. Why? Oh yeah, okay. A lot of it is who does volunteer work now in a healthcare field in the healthcare office? Anybody?
Not yet,
right? Okay. Why is it important you think to do volunteer work in a healthcare office? What's that?
So you can get like a feel for it and how it works.
Yes. When you get a feel for it, you understand is it for you or not? Can you actually benefit by being there, but understanding how the doctor relationship works? My interns come out, so they shadow me. They help with the back office, front office, whatever it is too. They help me, and then what it is, a benefit to me. When you come to an office and want to volunteer either through the school or privately too, you have to be a benefit to them. Right now, be honest with you, you're probably not. So how do you help them? What's the easiest way to help a doctor's office that's been around for a long time, that is not technologically savvy?
You help them switch from paper to.
Yes, or help them with their social media. Help them with their Facebook, Instabook, their Google, their Yelp, whatever it is too. Take pictures and show them how to load it to their pages to help their business actually do better. So you guys know stuff already that can help a healthcare office or center, whatever it is too, that isn't even medically related. They want your help, you just have to get to know who you are. And sometimes get a good referral too from a teacher, hint, that you are a good person that can trust you with their patients. If an intern messes up or even a staff messes up, what happens is it's a reflection of me, if I'm there or not, because my name's on the door. So I want to make sure my office is ethically sound and there for the patient, not for them. Like I'll say it again, it's because I want them there for the patient, not for them. When I first did in my office, I think I fired the first 5 people that came in the door that were staff because they're on their phone. This is like an old BlackBerry too, like an old flip phone or something, or on the office phone calling their friends. I'm like, exactly. I said, no, get your stuff and thanks for coming. You know, so I don't, because again, reflection of me. Someone walks in the door, right? Patient walks in the first time. How many times you have to give them a good first impression?
Once.
Why don't people understand that? Walking to see the staff on the phone, talk to the friend, as they're waiting by the front going like, is someone gonna help me or am I gonna sit here forever? Right. I want my staff, Seraphim knows, to know their name when they walk in the door. New patient or someone that's been here before. Why do you wanna say someone's name? Again, this is just, we've gone before, so why? If your name's Jerry, if I say, hey Jerry, how you doing? What does that mean? You're not a number. There's a person, there's a relationship there already that, is your name Jerry? Is that where you're laughing? Okay. It's something to where he knows me. If you're in a crowd, you say someone's name, and it's maybe that person doesn't hear you, but someone else has the same name, what happens? You turn around to like, hey, does he know? Do I know that? No, I don't. No, sorry. No. So you gotta realize, saying someone's name, doesn't matter first time, second time, third time, allows them to know that you know them. And they have that little bit of trust that helps them trust you more. All right. We get on time too? I don't want to blab too much.
2:30.
Good. Time to class up?
Alright. These are my interns for was it spring? Was this spring, early January 2019, so June 2019. Alright, guys. So let's go to a couple questions. Sarah, when did you start? Was it this semester or last semester?
Last semester, September 19th.
So you've been here like almost 9 months then?
Yeah.
Wow, it's a long time. And Ms. Cass, you started when?
January 2019.
Wow, this year. That's 19, right? Okay, the way you're looking. And when you first came in, Cass, how were you thinking this was going to be?
Well, I went to another internship before here, so at that internship, they usually just kind of like threw me to the side, just gave me like
physically. Physically?
Yes, physically. No, they didn't really give me a lot to do, so when I got here, it was like a different pace, because I was doing a lot more than at the other place.
Well, at the other place, you were saying, did it help build up your confidence for internships?
No.
And when you first came in, how was the pace? Were you used to right away, or did it take time to get used to? It
took a minute.
Yeah, a couple minutes. And did you realize when you first came in, were you more, if you want to call it, nervous?
More excited. Myself and improve myself.
Good. Did you feel like it was a good fit right away, or kind of take time?
It was a good fit.
Good. And so we came in last September. How was your experience when you first came in? Do you have any other internships beforehand, or was it?
So this was my first internship, so that's why I was like nervous. I'm like, I'm gonna mess up.
You did mess up a lot. This is part of learning, right? And you guys realize too. We start with you too. When you say this is a practice, what does that mean to you?
Practice. It helps me. I guess build up my confidence. I can talk to the patients. I can listen, and it helps me out there in the real world. And
how does it help in the real world?
To have more social experience, more communication, know how to grow in a different pace. Mm-hmm.
That's good enough. Don't force it. And Cassie, what does the practice mean to you now that you've been here for a while?
You know, same thing as Sarah, but I'm asking.
Come on, don't read the question.
So even if I didn't get a job in the health field, like years later, no matter what job, I need to know how to talk to people. So being here taught me those basic skills of starting a conversation, ending a conversation, just opening up and branching out to all people, all ages, all genders, everybody.
And when you do that, Cassie, have you found that it can be fun too?
Yeah.
Good. And part of it too, Sarah, have you noticed too that when you're with people, do you feel more comfortable now with them?
I feel, yes, very comfortable, because when you have that conversation every so often with the same patient, it builds trust between you two.
Well, sounds like that's like a brain just explosion there. College.
Yeah, right. But it's good that you trust, like, they get to trust you and you get to trust them.
Just add on to that, I notice a lot you remember. So you remember about people's pets, you remember about their kids. So I try to do that when I talk to them. I'll be like, how's your dog? Or how's your son? Like, I listen and I try to remember.
Put an
name to a face.
Wow, yeah. It makes me so proud.
So, like, if you should think it to trust you as a worker here, it makes a safe environment for the clinic.
And how important, Cassie, is to smile with patients?
So what?
To smile.
Oh, important?
What?
Because it makes them feel comfortable in a setting that they may not really be comfortable with. It's hard walking into an environment where everyone seems angry, so when you greet them with a smile, they're happy, they feel welcomed, and they actually want to be here.
Huge. And the else girls, for your last next interview for 2019 internships program?
I'll be back.
So does that make sense? When you're an intern, my job is to make you more comfortable with patients, so you actually want to talk to people. You want to remember their names. I have an intern right now, and she's like, I can't remember people's names. Like, you remember everyone's name now. I get on her every day. Uh-huh. Who's that? So my thing is making sure whatever their weakness is, I work on that. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I was saying, well, that's me.
So a lot of it is it's trainable. You guys, all the potential to do as well as you want to do, just have to work hard at it. You guys are in the first inning of the World Series. You have a long way to go. Just keep working hard. Your teacher has a lot of references and resources for you that can help you with everything. getting that program back there, because that's an awesome program. You guys are an awesome program. But thanks for listening to me. Hope this is helpful.
Thank you.
Hope this talk helps you understand that being in practice for 15 years myself and working with patients for that period of time, along with listening to my senior patients when I do my workshops, helps people understand that being a healthcare practitioner takes time to learn that craft, that field, listening to patients properly, and then being competent and experienced in your field over time to help patients get better no matter what you're doing. All right, so I hope you enjoyed this talk. Again, the show notes always has the full video of this podcast along with other podcast videos, along with the highlights of everything we've done, talked about today. All right, so enjoy the week, and we'll see you next week.